Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome into the Damage Report. It's Adrian Lawrence filling in for John Iadarola, the great. And we've got a great show for you today, which is absolutely wonderful, of course, because I'm joined by Brett Ehrlich. Yes, all good things. It's been so long since we have shared a stage together. I think the last time was when I was filling in for TDR.
Yep, it's been a while. It's been too long. We should force John into retirement so we can have these opportunities more often. For those wondering how John is, I spoke to him yesterday. He's doing great. He went on a hike, which I don't fully understand why someone would do that to themselves, but he did it and he seemed happy about it. So that's John for you. And I hope he and everyone here enjoys a very festive St. Patrick's Day. I tried to make it green, but it just seems dark in here.
Yeah, hey, well, your green stands out, and I completely forgot it was St. Patrick's Day. But I'm sure I have green somewhere in the house. But either way, that's all right. One thing we do know is definitely what the Senate, they can always follow the green. So let's go ahead and hit that first story.
Yesterday, we took the first step and to officially repeal the AUMF of 1991 and 2002. And tomorrow, we will vote on cloture. Americans are tired of endless wars, and thanks to the folks here with me, this is the week the Senate will begin the process to end the legal authority that started the Iraq War two decades ago. March 19th will mark the 20th anniversary of that invasion.
Wow, 20th anniversary. It has been some time. Yes, and that was Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer announcing that the Senate is going to be moving to repeal the 1991 and 2002 AUMFs in Iraq. That's right, kind of pulling that back and something that needs to be done, because the Senate, what they did is they voted yesterday to advance a bill repealing two Iraq War Power Acts as lawmakers. And this work is helping to reassert their authority in military intervention abroad in a 68 to 27 vote in favor of repealing. Now, a final vote on the bill is expected early next week. And we know this per CNN. The White House said earlier Thursday it supports the measure, which would repeal the 1991 and 2002 authorizations, as I mentioned. The move would mark a formal conclusion to the conflicts and a symbolic reassertion of Congress's ability to declare war. Now, in a release statement, the White House said this: President Biden remains committed to working with the Congress to ensure that outdated authorizations for the use of military force are replaced with a narrow and specific framework more appropriate to protecting Americans from modern terrorist threats such as TikTok. Toward that end, the administration will ensure that Congress has a clear and thorough understanding of the effect of any such action and of the threats facing US forces, personnel, and interests around the world. Now, the White House also backed a 2021 bill to repeal the Iraq AUMF that passed with the support of 49 Republicans. But the measure ultimately did not get a vote in the Senate amid opposition from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. It's not yet clear whether the Republican-led House will take up the measure, where the Republican conference includes a mix of defense hawks opposed to curtailing presidential war powers with a more isolationist wing that would favor repealing the Iraq War authorization. Now, though there may happen, or although that may happen, really, it's unclear as of now. But we do know that Virginia Senator Tim Kaine, well, he seemed confident that the bill would pass in the House, and he said this: "I have not spoken to the speaker, but the House sponsors are very bipartisan, including people that are really close to the speaker." Also, we know that the 2002 AUMF has been used by successive presidents for military operations beyond its original scope. Former President Barack Obama used the 2002 measure to justify airstrikes against Islamic State terrorists in Iraq and Syria. Former President Donald Trump cited the AUMF when authorizing the strike that took out Iranian General Qasem Soleimani in Baghdad. Now that the measure is bipartisan, the opposition to the repeal is not. Oh my God, there is a lot there. But then again, when it comes to changing things that we did and we probably should not necessarily have done in the past, I'm all for it. But Brett, what do you think?
I think that any reasonable person would assume that Congress should probably be specific, and so should our government in general, in who we're at war with and why. Because war is one of those things that actually bankrupts nations or at least causes them to allocate their resources in ways that don't necessarily benefit the people at home, and they squander their treasure abroad, as it were. And so just a reminder that that 2002 authorization of use of military force was just fake. That authorization to go into Iraq was a false response to 9/11 2001. That authorized us to go invade Iraq, which had nothing to do with 9/11. That's crazy. A lot of people are TYT fans because of how crazy that was, and are calling that out in the first place back then. And if you thought that was crazy, people are coming to the realization that it's still in effect 21 years later. 20 years later, we're still operating in ways that are so tangentially related to why they authorized this in the first place. And that authorization itself was misguided and a lie against Americans and the world. And then they get mad at non-interventionist people when we say, hey, I feel like the military-industrial complex is just kind of jerking us around. They come up with fake justifications for wars that benefit private interests abroad and domestically. And they're basically rubbing it in our faces, like, oh, why did we bomb Qasem Soleimani in Baghdad? Because of our response to 9/11. Why are we doing drone strikes against the Islamic State? Because of the authorized use of military force, which destabilized Iraq and created this problem. Well, at least we got to solve this problem we created. It is all just years later, decades later. That is how slow the government is to really take responsibility for it. And so you might ask yourself, why are they doing this? Why is this interesting to me for all the reasons I listed? But it's also interesting to me because the Democrats are kind of looking around the margins of the Republican Party and seeing folks like Lauren Boebert and seeing folks like Matt Gaetz, who are wildly hateful and terrible garbage people. But the one through line of them is they also don't want to be in Iraq. They also don't want American treasure being squandered abroad, as it were. And so the Democrats are seeing that movement in the Republican Party and saying, hey, I don't want the Republicans to be the party of give peace a chance, because there's a lot of people that rally around that. And they also want to destabilize the Republican Party and get those wedge issues that drive that party apart. Now, the power that the Speaker of the House has is whether he's going to actually bring this to a vote. And he is been basically jerked around, and you know, they got him by the short and curlies, for lack of a better term. The right wing populist weirdos that we all hate in the party, the Boberts, the Gaetzes, the Marjorie Taylor Greens, they've been able to put Kevin McCarthy in a very weird, tenuous position and have to cater to them. Like, Marjorie Taylor Greene is the president pro tem of the House sometimes. She like is the one with the gavel. That's how crazy the Republican Party is. And so the Democrats are trying to expose that and destabilize the Republicans so they can't actually crystallize a message around intervention, non-intervention, the Lindsey Grahams versus the Lauren Boeberts.
Yeah, and it's funny because in some part you kind of lost me around 1991 because I wasn't born yet. And so being such a young person, I don't know necessarily what happened back then, but I can tell you that it's really upsetting. And so I'm really happy you brought that up, thank you. But I can also tell you that there have been more hawkish Republicans out in these streets that have been basically opposed to repealing the Iraq AUMF, including Senator Ted Cruz. What they really, really are arguing here is that the president and Pentagon need to have the flexibility to provide, to be able to move quickly against any kind of American enemies that may show up. Mitt Romney, Michael Rounds, Marco Rubio, they've all been pushing this similar sentiment that repealing the AUMF, and they sent it in a letter really to the committee chair asking to delay voting on the repeal, as Brett had mentioned, because they're trying to possibly keep from voting. And this is not really the only recent instance that GOP senators are demonstrating their hawkishness. Senator Lindsey Graham also seemingly calling for direct confrontation with Russia over the drone incident. And of course, as many of you know, with the breaking news today that the ICC issued arrest warrants for Putin and Russian officials tied to the alleged deportation of Ukrainian children, even though we know that that's unlikely to see in terms of Putin being put in handcuffs unless it's Inspector Gadget or Carmen Sandiego roping him in. But we still know that Lindsey Graham is going to rope in the ridiculousness. Here he is.
They shot down our drone. What should our answer be?
Well, we should hold them accountable and say that if you ever get near another US set flying in international waters, your airplane would be shot down. What would Ronald Reagan do right now? He would start shooting Russian planes down if they were threatening our assets. American foreign.
I kind of think at any point you were doing a what would Ronald Reagan do, that you have lost your audience, like get out of here. He would what, roll over in his grave and what, just not do anything that would help the American people as far as I'm concerned. But anyways, Lindsey Graham's antics are not unusual as they typically are par for the course. And it really comes following a Russian fighter jet forcing down a US Air Force drone over the Black Sea on Tuesday. And that's after damaging the propeller of the American MQ-9 Reaper drone. Now, as according to the US military, and of course, Graham isn't picky with his military interventions, as he also suggested using force against the cartels.
I've had it. The four people that were kidnapped, two of them are killed, were from South Carolina. I've had it with the idea that America needs to sit on the sidelines and do nothing about an invasion of this country of fentanyl being provided by drug cartels to the Mexican president. I would like to work with you to liberate the Mexican people from the scourge of drug cartels. I'd like to work with you to stop the flow of fentanyl into my country, our country, right, that's killing 70,000 of our citizens. And if you don't work with us, we're going to do it by ourselves.
Well, I'll tell you.
I really, for a moment, I thought he was going to say he wanted to liberate them from scurvy. But then again, that kind of tells you where my mind goes when I'm listening to Lindsey Graham. Utter nonsense. Brett.
Lindsey Graham is my favorite person in Congress.
Why?
Because he's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Lindsey Graham is the ultimate fake it till you make it senator. Because we know he's just kind of a little like, he's like hot pomade. He's like kind of a solid and he's kind of greasy and he's just kind of amorphous. And he's just there for appearances. Like Lindsey Graham is a total wuss bag, but how somehow Lindsey Graham is supposed to be this symbol of American fortitude. Well, Ronald Reagan do. This is a guy who has been on all sides of every issue trying to be like, I think you're a punk, Donald Trump. And then Trump just whoops him. And he's like, oh, I won't get Vladimir Putin. I'm gonna show him what's what. And Putin's just like, are you kidding me? Like if I'm the Republicans, they're struggling to maintain this war hawk attitude in the face of a lot of people in the populist wing saying, I don't want to be involved in Russia. And they have a bunch of stupid reasons for that. But they also have reasons that resonate with people who are like, I can't like pay for my kids' dental appointments. Why are we spending billions of dollars abroad in forever wars in Iraq? Why are we still authorizing the use of force there? But for Lindsey Graham to, he's not the Marlboro man. He's not this idea, and he really typifies this weird dynamic of right-wing self-professed alpha dogs that don't pass the sniff test. You just kind of want to push them over. It's so weird to me that Lindsey Graham does this. And the fact that Marco Rubio and company like Mitt Romney, they're all kind of pushing back against the idea that you would have to vote for a war powers authorization. It's that they want to use like these administrative ticky-tack delay tools at their disposal because they know that people don't want to go to war for no reason. It's harder and harder in this day and age to justify people going to war for no reason. And they wanted to maintain this idea of a very powerful executive because a lot of the people on the right wing are kind of fashy and they want to give as much power as possible to one person. These are the small government people, by the way. They want them not to pay taxes. They want you to pay taxes. They want no regulation so that they can kill you with the food they produce without any regulation and blow up, derail trains near your town. And they want to be able to send you to war and hook you into joining the military and tie some kind of student debt relief to that action because that's a way to pay for an expensive life that they've already made prohibitively expensive a bunch of different ways. This is exposing really the annoying part, the parts that I'll say are annoying about the Republican Party, but they're actually nefarious and evil, and they're talking out of two sides of their mouth, and they pretend that they're patriots when really all they want to do is enrich themselves and their donors in the military industrial complex, and then this weird, and they want to appease the populist wing of their party. Because it's also a very jingoistic racist wing of their party by saying, oh, also the Mexicans, they do drugs and kill us, so we should kill them too. A drone over Russia is tied directly to drug cartels because I just want to spend money on the military. Thank you. My name's Lindsey Graham. Where's the check?
I love that. That's fantastic. But I will critique your Lindsey Graham because it slid into Ross Perot. The thing is that I respect it, but I have to critique it. It's the right thing to do.
Well, can I finish? Can I finish, please? can I finish? Can I finish?
You are ridiculous and amazing. Do we have enough time for the next story? Hopefully, okay, let's get this in. All right, so we're heading to Mar-a-Lago. That's right, because at least 24 people from the Mar-a-Lago resort staff who are to the members of Donald Trump's inner circle at his Florida estate, they've been subpoenaed to testify. That's before a grand jury, federal grand jury that is, that's investigating the former president's handling of classified documents. That's right, Jack Smith has their name. Amazing. All right, so this for CNN. On Thursday, Trump's communications aide, Margo Martin, not Margo, Lago Martin, who worked in the White House and then moved with Trump to Florida, appeared before the grand jury in Washington, D.C., one of special counsel Jack Smith's senior most prosecutors was involved in the interview. Smith has sought testimony from a range of people close to Trump, from his own attorneys who represent him in the matter to staffers who work on the grounds of Mar-a-Lago, including a housekeeper and restaurant servers. The staffers are of interest to investigators because of what they may have seen or heard while on their daily routines around the estate, including whether they saw boxes or documents in Trump's office suite or elsewhere. For instance, federal investigators talked to Mar-a-Lago staff members seen on the security camera footage moving boxes from a storage room with Trump aide Walt Nahtu, who has already spoken with investigators. And that's not the only case on Trump's mind, of course, as you know, a man is lawyered up everywhere. The case, of course, into the hush money, it seems to be heating up in the Manhattan DA's office, with his legal team urging him, hopefully, to keep quiet while the Manhattan DA, hopefully, they hope, won't indict him. About his role overpaying that, I think $130,000 of hush money to the porn star Stormy Daniels. That really has been something very interesting and crazy. And of course, we're getting responses from Trump that are very interesting and crazy. So he took to True Social, and we'll read at least a few of them. He said this: the person heading up the New York City investigation into the now ancient and many times debunked Stormy Daniels horseface matter is none other than top DOJ operative Matthew Colangelo, one of Merrick Garland's senior officials who has quietly snuck into the local Manhattan DA's office so that DOJ could say they weren't involved with this local prosecution of a popular 75 million votes president. Who knows though, maybe they're there to make it legit, question mark. Does anybody believe that Slay's bag disbarred lawyer Michael Cohen went before a grand jury yesterday and did little but talk about it today? You're not allowed to do that. Just like in Georgia, where the juror was severely admonished for talking, Cohen has no credibility at any level, a total loser. And of course, Trump put out an official campaign statement. There's a lot of it. Won't read all of it, but here you go. President Donald J. Trump is completely innocent. He did nothing wrong. And even the biggest, most radical left Democrats are making that clear. From Russia, Russia, Russia to the Mueller hoax to impeachment hoaxes one and two, and even the unlawful Mar-a-Lago raid. Democrats have investigated and attacked President Trump since before he was elected, and they failed every time. Now Democrats are at it again, pushing the nuclear button and attacking a president because of his a disgraced extortionist. This is happening because President Trump is leading in the polls by a large margin against both Democrats and Republicans, and there's never been anything so blatant in American political history, and so on. Absolute, utter nonsense. This man is surreal. I do love how he will slip in these just completely and totally unnecessary insults from calling Stormy Daniels horse face, saying Michael Cohen is a loser. I swear this man is operating with this high school mentality. And yet so many people out there in the United States still think this gentleman is a leader and should be back in the White House and is reflective of American values. I'll never understand it. But then again, it's ridiculous. Brett.
I love this story so much. It's got some wins for me. It's like they're not, there's some things they've decided not to indict him on, or that they're not, the Democrats and the left are kind of, not the left, but the Democrats are essentially hanging the specter over Trump. They just want him to continually repeat the fact that he's under investigation. They want themselves to repeat the fact they're under that he's under investigation. They want to keep Trump's brand at bay, and they want to remind voters generally that Trump's just too much to deal with. It's so much drama. We had that dramatic part of our lives and we won it over. He is absolutely lying about being ahead in the polls. There is one poll, which is a Rasmussen poll, that has him ahead by like a kind of tangible margin, but he is trailing Biden in pretty much every other poll, Morning Consult and Quinnipiac. He's in the normal polls, he's behind. So that's a lie, and I love it. Almost as much as I love the fake names involved in this. Did you see the names? There's Margo Martin, Mar-a-Lago Martin, Mara. And then there's also an actress named Margo Martindale. That's exactly who I think Trump thought he was hiring. Uh-huh. Margo Martindale, she's great as Aunt Lydia. That's Ann Dowd. No, she's one of those people. She was in The Americans. We're all Americans. I love Americans. And then there's another guy named Matt Colangelo.
Yes.
Like, here's Michelangelo, and here's Matt Colangelo, and Tom Colangelo, and Bill Colangelo, Leonardo and Raphael. It is all ridiculous. And this is what, like, there, it's the Trump show is fun to watch when he calls Stormy horse-faced Daniels and spells her name wrong. You're waiting for him to call, like, and Michael Duty-Face Cohen. And then he's talking about how sleazy Michael Cohen is. That was your lawyer. That's why he's famous. He was your lawyer. You are admitting you hired the sleazebag. In your statements, you're reminding everybody all of the controversies and scandals surrounding your name. You were playing right into the trap, but he can't avoid it because he is drawn to the spotlight like a moth to flame, and he doesn't care how much it incinerates him, at least it's shiny.
Very shiny. I swear to God, it would be very nice if they incarcerate him and do not give him a phone or access to media in any way, because it'd be great to see him go away. But then again, that may just be my interest, but something in your interest, at least many of you out there on the Dragon Squad who have comments and things, would be going to this break so that we can hear from you all. All right, and we are back. Thank you all so much for your incredible contributions, including listening to what Donald Trump calls Stormy Daniels a horse face. Like, still, it's a lot of work here, but this is Adrienne Lawrence filling in for John Iadarola with the wonderful Brett Ehrlich. And we have so much more news for you, including more Republican antics on the issue of abortion. Watch.
A 6-week ban is almost a near ban, sir. It is going to be operationalized as a complete ban because people do not know they're pregnant at 6 weeks. And so I ask us to stop this trend, to also listen to the majority of Floridians who time and time again have demonstrated support for personal medical decisions. I remember we had the debate of 15 weeks last session. We were told that this would end the debate, that this would be the final ban we would see. And yet here we are returning now, not even a year later, with a 6-week abortion ban before us.
Of course, there is that return, because until women are crushed, Republicans' agenda is not complete. Yeah, there's former Democratic challengers to DeSantis, Charlie Crist, made clear that the stakes of this election had to do a lot with people's personal liberties and their choices. And as we know, Ron DeSantis went on to win the election there as governor. And now these are the consequences of it. A proposal to ban abortions at 6 weeks in Florida received overwhelming approval from a state house committee Thursday, with Democrats acknowledging that there's nothing that they could do to stop it from eventually becoming law. This per the AP. The proposal is moving along while a ban on abortions is 15 weeks. Signed into law by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis last year, is still facing a legal challenge. The proposal would only take effect if the current law is upheld and would make it a crime to provide an abortion past 6 weeks gestational age. There would be an exception to save the life of the woman, and exceptions in the case of pregnancy caused by rape or incest until 15 weeks of pregnancy. In those cases, the woman would have to provide documentation such as a medical record, restraining order, or police report. Yes, because we know that the vast majority of women who are raped or sexually assaulted or there's incest are running to police because they're so good at solving crimes. But in the response to the proof burden placed upon victim survivors and victim advocates, well, it showed the advocates, of course, had showed up to testify to their experience and the draconian nature of the proposed law. The invasive collection of evidence is often referred to as a second rape. How can you forcibly put someone through a second rape to validate them receiving consenting medical attention? The real question is, how dare you? The founder of Women's Voices of Southwest Florida also gave damning testimony, reiterating other progressives' claim that the proposed abortion ban is merely meant to bolster Florida Governor Ron DeSantis's conservative bona fides and consequently offer us up as the sacrificial lamb of DeSantis's 2024 presidential campaign. Now, the House bill has one more committee stop before being heard by the full chamber. A similar Senate bill has been assigned to two committees and will be heard for the first time next week. The House and Senate leaders there in Florida have expressed support for the legislation, because why shouldn't they? Again, the agenda is to crush women in terms of our ability to have economic independence, our assertion of bodily autonomy, and so on. And that will become a model for DeSantis's run for president, because there are too many people in this country who really want to see us back in the 1950s in the kitchen. Brett?
Yeah, Ron DeSantis' priority is to win the presidency, and the thing he needs to do along the way is shore up enough like crappy Republican Trump voters to beat him in a primary. And this is one of those things he's doing. His legislative priorities are the same as Marco Rubio's. He just wants to enrich the elites in America. So when you think Ron DeSantis, he wants to enrich the elites of America. And he wants to destroy the idea of equity, mutual respect of people in America, and individual rights along the way. He doesn't care. He's going to burn America down so he can rule it. That's Ron DeSantis. That's his priority. And one of those things he's doing is all these very old, very insipid, very transparent Republican tactics, which is, I don't know, Republicans want to have this sense of moral superiority over everybody from a religious standpoint. And it's super easy to say, you guys are killing babies, so I'm with God and you're with the devil. It's all about control, the way that religion has been used since the dawn of it. And I'm not saying that all religion is bad. I think it's so ironic that religion frequently goes, here are some really good lessons on how to treat each other. But the people in charge of the religions from an administrative standpoint, they're the ones that are saying like, and so now give me all your money and give me all your power because I'm the representative of God. It's horrible. It is also very clear that people like Ron DeSantis will try to get more and more draconian and evil with their legislation that they're trying to pass in this way because you know they've spent the last 50 years since Roe versus Wade tirelessly building a Republican majority in the Supreme Court. That's what they've done and they accomplished it. So you think they're gonna stop at 6 weeks? No, they're not gonna stop at 6 weeks. They're not gonna stop until they have control over every uterus in America. And to a certain extent, they do. And your state government has to come in and save you from that. And that's not gonna stop them either because they're also trying to push through this regulation that the only regulation they're in favor of is a regulation banning the abortion pill, even if you live in a state that allows you to buy it. They're not about states' rights, like they've said they are. They are only about conquering you in every possible way and making your life worse in every possible way to make your boss richer, to make you have fewer rights, and to take away your will to live, basically. It is sad. And then when you retire, they also want to take away your Medicare and they want to take away your Social Security benefits. That is the Republican Party. That is everything they're advocating for. And I have major criticisms of the Democratic Party and a lot of the same tricks where they try to convince you that the leadership is with you 100% of the time. But I'm talking about the Republican Party in this situation because the story is about them and they are worse. They are horrible. It's all an act so they can control you and so they can take your money and they can take your freedom, period. They say as much. That's what this law literally is.
Absolutely. And that's their agenda and that's what it's been since day one. You know, it just, it's very unfortunate because as we see with Biden saying he's going to run for president in 2024 and take the Democratic ticket, and then you have the opposition who's likely going to be DeSantis. And the fact is that it's putting us in another very bad situation where a lot of America may skew more DeSantis just because of age. And as a result, we're going to be in a situation where this Florida antics that are going on, it's going to become national. But then again, you know, as they say, oh, you're just hysterical, it's not going to happen because we know that that's never come to pass before. But we also know that Florida isn't the only one up to the nonsense because Utah is engaged in some antics as it concerns the bodily autonomy of women. So Utah Republican Governor Spencer Cox signed Bill HB 467 into law on Wednesday, which outlaws providing licenses to abortion clinics in the state and forces those in operation to close either by year's end or when their licenses expire, whichever comes first. The law is going to take effect May 3rd. And in a press conference, Governor Cox defended his signing of the bill, stating that abortions could still be performed within hospitals.
Governor, are you enacting a de facto total abortion ban by signing the bill that limits access to clinics? And what do you anticipate will happen next as a result of that?
Yeah, absolutely not. That is not the case. In fact, we were asked by abortion providers to clarify the law because what would have happened, again, assuming depending on the court case that is moving forward, the trigger trigger law that was passed several years ago would have enacted a de facto complete abortion ban, because there wasn't clarity around rape, incest, and the health and safety of the mother. And so this bill clarifies that so that those abortions can continue. They will continue in a hospital setting, but there is nothing that would prevent those from continuing. And the hospitals were involved in the drafting of that bill, and they were supportive of the bill as it passed.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know what? It really just shows you, as far as I'm concerned, how much our society hates women and the thought that they do not want them competing in the workplace or even contributing to the GDP so we can be a more advanced society. And it's going to end up costing us all, of course. And the thing is that the courts nationwide have really been the only thing standing in the way. But of course, unfortunately, in a lot of states, they are maybe inundated by individuals who are members of the GOP and not pushing back. Fortunately, North Dakota is one of the states where the higher courts have thus far prevented abortion bans from taking effect. But we need more state legislatures also on board. I just don't know that that is going to happen before the DeSantis apocalypse hits. Your thoughts, Brad?
I'm not sure there will be a DeSantis apocalypse that does hit. That's going to be one of the fascinating things to watch. Does Trump still got it? But that's what a Republican looks like when he's lying. That's what a politician looks like when he's lying. That video, that guy was just lying to you. There's no way that the anti-abortion Republican kowtowing party is ever going to stop, because the people on his side that support abortion bans support a complete ban. They don't support a 6-week ban. They don't support a 15-week ban. They don't support it being okay in hospitals. They don't support you having the right to choose what to do with what's happening inside your body. They don't. So that's not it. What he's alluding to and trying not to say is that these abortion bans are so unpopular. And they're only popular with the anti-abortion people, which is a small percentage of the population. So he basically asked ChatGPT to put together an argument that at the same time appeases total pro-abortion or anti-abortion people and appeases folks that realize how wildly insane it is to tell women they can't do what they want with their own bodies. And that is what you get. You get stupid, nonsensical statements like that. And then you have to focus on the political calculations of everybody working at it. What they want in the Republican Party and in all politics is to stay in office. They want to keep winning elections. That doesn't mean they need legislative wins. They just need to be perceived as legislative winners, and at worst, champions of what the voters want, even if the fake news media and the horrible people out there are trying to stop them and it's so wildly unfair. And so you get stuff like this where they say, listen, we're still gonna abide by the law, and they're gonna try to pass every abortion ban they can as long as it benefits them politically. And that's where we all come in, where we need to remind everybody in every state everywhere how unpopular these things are, and how the abortion bans can lose those politicians their elections. And that's when they start listening.
Yes, and listen is something that they need to do. And I guess you might have to listen to a little bit of silence, because we're going to go to a break. All right, and we are back. It's Adrienne Lawrence filling in for John Iadarola, and I have the wonderful Brett Ehrlich joining me. And I also have some, of course, interesting thing, because God forbid people not fight, even though it is Friday. So let's do this.
Woke M&Ms have returned.
The whole place, it was like wokeified.
You can't have a moment of just fun without an agenda.
Okay. I think if you like your washing machine, you should be able to keep your washing machine. And now we're hearing the Biden administration, they are wanting to make washing machines less efficient, use a different detergent that's new, gonna cost you more, and your clothes, they won't be as clean.
Yeah, that's right. Move over, gas stoves. There's a new home appliance that the GOP is fear-mongering about. That's right. That was Marsha Blackburn talking about how the Department of Energy plans to ensure washing machines use less water to help the environment. And that is a threat because, my God, if her clothes are not clean, it's a problem. Yeah, well, she wasn't the only one talking about this. Here's a montage of Fox and their friends losing their freaking minds.
First, it was your stove. Now the White House climate agenda is targeting your washing machine.
Critics say President Biden's new energy plan would make each washing cycle take longer, make detergent more expensive, and leave clothes dirtier because they use less water.
This is so ridiculous. Like, did somebody get dumped by an appliance salesman? As you said, first they went after stoves.
Right.
Now they're going after washing machines. And the scam is they're forcing it on us. Because nobody's on board with this. Everything this government does is some type of heavy-handed coercion, or in this case, what they'd be calling a mandate.
Sean is so upset about this.
Oh, Rachel's upset too, Senator. I mean, this, can you believe this? And you know, you're a mother and a grandmother. It's not gonna wash our clothes. I'm gonna pay more for it. What can we do to push back on these crazy green policies that are destroying our homes?
I really don't understand these people, but the Department of Energy did issue a statement, and here they are explaining it. So the US Department of Energy today proposed new energy efficient standards for refrigerators and clothes washers that will lower household energy costs and significantly reduce pollution. DOE expects the new standards, which have not been updated in over a decade, to save American consumers approximately $3.5 billion per year on their energy and water bills. With today's proposals, we are building on a decades-long effort with industry to ensure tomorrow's appliances work more efficiently and save Americans money. Over the last 40 years, at the direction of Congress, DOE has worked to promote innovation, improve consumers' options, and raise efficiency standards for household appliances without sacrificing the reliability and performance that Americans have come to expect. So they're not taking away washing machines or dumbing them down. If anything, they're gonna save you a buck or two. Yeah, of course. And, you know, Marsha Blackburn did get mocked to some extent on Twitter for her antics. One user responded with this. Yes, Marsha, the washing machine confiscation squad and clean clothes prohibition laws have been keeping me awake too, Marsha. And another said, banks failing because drag queen story hour, because the cartels can't do laundry at the border, because global warming isn't real and Tide is too expensive, because Hunter Biden's laptop or something. Yeah, that's right. Energy efficient washing machines, no, can't have that, way too much. Brett, are you as upset and terrified about these potential changes to make our washing machines more efficient?
They work better and they cost less money to use, and you can wash more clothes at the same time. They're just better washing machines. They're lying to you about low water and high efficiency washing machines being worse at washing. That's the part they made up. That's the lie. So what they're saying is, I just wanna complain about change. That's all they wanna do. Like that guy Sean Duffy, who was on The Real World, by the way, like he's just a reality star turned opportunist turned politician. He sucks. And the fact is, like, this is like them saying, they're gonna take away my steam engine. I wanna put coal in my house and I wanna fill the sky they're making me use electricity. How dare they? It's like, it's just better. This happens over time. And they're against people spending $3.5 billion less on water bills. So the Fox, in their misguided attempt to create a culture war, has essentially decided they want Americans to spend more money on washing machines. That's it. And no one's coming and taking your washing machine. You can have it till it breaks, like every other washing machine. And you can replace it with like the bargain basement one, like everybody does, or buy one that still works secondhand on Craigslist, like everybody does. The technology is just getting better and more efficient. And if you hang back as the cutting edge technology advances, the one that's like three generations behind, you can still buy on Craigslist and still use. You psychopaths. How sad and pathetic are they? that this is like the thing they're sad and mad about. It's so annoying.
Oh, absolutely. They're just dying to be oppressed. You know, these people out here aren't doing anything legitimate. And so what they're going to end up doing is filling people's mind with the thought that the US government is working against them and taking all these things away when really trying to enhance it and make it better. But one thing I can tell you that the US government won't do for each one of us is get us a yacht. Unless they are George Santos. Yes, that's right. A $19 million luxury yacht deal brokered by the representative from New York has hit headlines this week. It was between two wealthy donors, really also captured the attention of the federal and state authorities that are investigating the congressman's campaign finance and personal dealings. This is for the New York Times. Prosecutors and the FBI agents have sought in recent weeks to question the new owner of a 141-foot super yacht, Raymond Tantillo, a Long Island auto dealer, about the boat and his dealings with Mr. Santos, including his campaign fundraising efforts. Mr. Tantillo bought the boat from Mayra Ruiz, a Republican donor in Miami. Mr. Santos negotiated the payment, $12.25 million up front, $6.5 million more in installments, and advised the two on the logistics of turning over the yacht, according to a person familiar with the sale, which took place a few weeks before his election in November. Now, it's not clear if any laws are being broken, but people want to know how he brokered this transaction and how he used the money that he may have made from the sale, because there's a possibility that it could have gone toward maybe that $700,000 that was donated or loaned to his campaign that federal law enforcement has been looking into, especially as it concerns potential violations of campaign contribution laws. It'd also possibly be illegal if Santos had tied any commission that he received on the sale to previous or future donations. We know, of course, Santos has denied any wrongdoing, of course, and his lawyers declined comment. But aside from the criminality, it may help to answer the question of whether Santos made his money legitimately or if Mr. DeVolder Rockefeller's organization had some shady dealings. So also this, Mr. Santos, a Republican, has publicly said that his company, the Florida-based DeVolder organization, brokered deals between high net worth clients. In an interview with Semaphore in December, he sought to explain his work by saying that if a client wanted to sell a plane or a boat, he would put that feeler out there among his contacts, adding that he had landed a couple of $1 million contracts. And also, if you were wondering kind of about the broker fee there, if you're looking at a $20 million yacht, he told Semaphore that my referral fee there can be anywhere between $200,000 and $400,000. Yeah, that seems like a lot of money potentially involved. And of course, when it comes to Santos, there's the possibility that the money may not have been used appropriately or even gained appropriately. Brett, thoughts?
I want to get in the yacht business. Are you kidding me? This guy's going to get $200,000 to $400,000. I mean, I don't know if any of this happened or if Santos is really a human being or just kind of some kind of astral projection. But I want to get into the business of like, hey, you want to buy a yacht from that person? You both are rich and one of you wants a yacht and the other wants to get rid of it. Can I have $400,000? That's the business I want to get in. And if that's his business and he's just like siphoning money off of rich people who have too much of it, this is actually the first thing about George Santos that I like.
It wasn't the puppy stealing kind of thing. It wasn't that, because to be honest, that's what did it for me. I was just like, ooh, look at the Cruella angle. This works for me.
It's so ridiculous. Like, I think we should do a segment where we list scandalous things and it's like a two truths and a lie situation where it's like, you know, he fleeced people with, he stole dogs. He made $250,000 by telling people that a yacht existed. And then he like got caught doing some illicit stuff with paratroopers. Like, I don't know. One of those is a lie. I think the puppy one seems a little too evil by half, but no, it's the paratroopers.
That's funny. Yeah. And we can also do two truths and a lie about the things that DeSantos says that he has done in his past and all the accomplishments he's had. He is such a special man. But it turns out that this yacht is in existence. Absolutely. And I think we have a video about this yacht before it was sold.
Welcome aboard. Namaste. A tri-decker vessel for Mangusta's new Oceano series of displacement super yachts. She is a unique vessel in terms of her aesthetics as well as her functionality. classed by ABS and designed to allow commercial registration, Namaste is a pet.
Wow. It's a beautiful boat. I absolutely love it. And I always thought, I was thinking, why is it that boats are always called she? And I realized because we're just mere vessels. Back to the abortion story. Anyway, Brett, any final thoughts?
I have a final thought. Everyone should watch every promo for a yacht they can get their hands on. I did this segment once called Pricey Stuff. And they're just luxuriating. It is active luxuriating. They love to have drones. They show you every level of the ship except the slave level in the promos. And it's fantastic.
Oh my God. It's like watching Titanic, right?
Yep.
Always ends well?
Yeah, always ends well. Always ends well.
That's fantastic. And I know this isn't the end. I know we're going to go to the aftermath in about a minute or so. But is there anything that you wanted to discuss a little bit further before we head that direction?
Yes, this is a share bomb. It's a share bomb alert. We're doing a share bomb right now. Mike, do it. Drop it in the chat. If you look in the chat of the live show right now, you'll see a link to my new Rebel HQ video. We're going to do the hold on to your butts thing, but I want you to click on that. Watch it. It just went up. It's about billionaires getting caught dancing. And I explore exactly what it means about each of the billionaires and how they dance. You should go share it widely. Even if you don't watch it, open it in the background. Click on the link that Mike's sharing in the chat and share it as much as possible. I want to see if this actually elevates the view count systematically by coinciding with an appearance on a show.
Right, I think we're gonna have to get into that. I'm excited for the video and I'm also excited for the aftermath. See y'all soon.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.